Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond and streaming live on the free Odyssey app. You can take us on the go all across the country. All right, been talking a lot of NBA draft the last couple days. And the architect of the Wizards rebuild is their GM, Will Dawkins. He joins us right now on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Morning, Will.
Good morning. How are we doing?
Hey, we were just talking about sleep. One of us doesn't sleep very well, and I said, "Hey, how do you think Will Dawkins slept the last two nights?"
For some reason, I feel like you sleep well.
How did you sleep?
The first night, not great because we were up all night trying to get ready for the second round. But last night was a little better. I'll say that.
Last night was better.
What about the night before the first night?
Yeah, the night before the first round.
Actually, pretty good. We were prepared going into this draft, so we felt pretty good. We were able to get some sleep that night.
Hey, let me ask you, were you surprised that Trey slipped to six, or did you kind of project him to be there when you guys were selecting?
We were not certain he was going to be there, so we were very fortunate when we got him, for sure.
And so he for sure was he, I mean, I know you're not going to tell us your board, but I mean, he was definitely one of your top targets.
Yes, he was one of our top targets for a lot of reasons. Obviously he's a really good player in terms of being able to move the scoreboard and shoot. But he's got the right work ethic and mentality. So once we got him in our building and got a feel for him, he was someone that was top five on our board all season long. And when you fell to six, you felt pretty good when you find someone that you have ranked so high.
Right.
Well, I'm fascinated by when you see these guys when they're really young. I'm curious, when's the first time you laid your eyes on Trey Johnson? Was he 12, 13?
It's not that bad. Not that bad. It's getting close. But I would say probably 15, 16 years old is when I probably see them. A lot of the guys, when they play USAB, they start playing around 16 years old when they start letting us go to Colorado Springs and see them for the first time. So USAB does a really good job with the high-end prospects of giving you maximum exposure. But with EYBL now, we get those opportunities to see them when they start playing 15U.
And I'm curious, how many of those guys, let's say when you see them at 15, 16 years old, how many of those guys remain the top guys? Because it struck me when Jay Billis was talking about Cooper Flagg that Cooper Flagg has been a top prospect probably his whole life, right? And we started hearing about him like 3 years ago, and that carries a certain pressure, and he remained the top guy. How often do guys stay top, or is there a lot of movement, or do guys come that are kind of sleepers that might be ranked 100, and then by the time the draft comes, they're top 10 draft? How much movement is there in the kind of those last 3 or 4 years before they hit the NBA?
Yeah, there's a lot of movement, I would say. It's rare for someone to stay at the top of the class like that the entire time. But you typically get to see those kids and you find out that they're NBA players. It's just on their own time. Some need a year, some need 2 years, 3 years. It fluctuates whether they're top 10, but they still get drafted later. So you get a feel for NBA players early. USAB really does a good job, ESPN and those type of outlets. But for us, there's always guys that are going to pop. There's always guys that are coming on late, and those stories are pretty good. But Trey's someone that has been a high-level player in this class and been able to score and shoot the ball. So we've been seeing him do that for a while.
Yeah, and I think you mentioned it, that some of the reports were somebody out there from Texas said he's the hardest-working guy we've had since KD. Like, he's a total gym rat. And, you know, when you have that kind of work ethic, then you throw that in with talent, those are the ones that become special, or at least have the opportunity to.
Yeah, you don't carry the load in one of the better conferences that we've seen in a long time to be able to lead that conference in scoring during the season in conference play without working to get there, but also staying committed to there, because they were throwing a lot of bodies at him and he had to learn how to score in different ways with different matchups. And he is someone that, like Will Riley, skilled wings who have a strong work ethic and passion for the game. And that's what popped when you go to their practices. That's what pops when you talk to their coaches, and when you bring them in here and you talk to them, like, those guys are serious workers and they're going to fit into our building pretty well.
When you're at this stage of the process, are you looking for specific positions yet? Or are you still just like, I just need great players, like good players, guys we see the potential, or are you just acquiring assets that you can maybe move later?
Yeah, I would say with the guys we've drafted, I would say before this, you could tell that we're going to find guys who we feel have a chance to be NBA players and NBA players for a long time, and guys who have qualities that we feel will be able to play in NBA playoff games, because, again, that's the goal. Mm-hmm. So right now we're taking best available player who fits a play style that we want to have, and I wouldn't see it as asset play or positional need. Right now we just want to bring a bunch of guys in that compete, want to get after it, and
you'll figure out positional stuff later
to winning.
Yeah,
correct.
Yeah,
we don't have that luxury yet.
Right.
I'm curious. So you say when you see Trey when he's still a teenager, but a younger teenager, right? He's 15 or 16.
Yeah.
He already has that smooth stroke, right? And he shot almost 40% from the 3-point line, like you said, in the toughest conference, playing for Texas, SEC Freshman of the Year. A lot of times you hear about these guys, and we were talking about this before the draft, who don't have that shot and don't have that stroke. And I remember as we were going through some of these players, EB was saying, well, he can work on that and refine it. How easy is that? Because a lot of times you'll hear they got to work on the jumper, and 5 years later, the jumper is still not great.
Yeah, I think it's different for everyone. Shooting, when you just look at the numbers, is a huge swing skill for a lot of young players. If they can pick that up and become more of a threat over their career, it definitely advances their projection. But with Trey, he does one of the hardest things in the NBA at a high level already. Mm-hmm. And that's being able to shoot not just off the catch, but off the dribble. Mm-hmm. And not just from three, but actually like really deep behind the 3-point line, but also the mid-range. So for him, he's someone that you're watching in high school as a sophomore, you're watching in high school as a junior in Texas, playing against some of the best competition, Cason Wallace and those guys who are strapping up people in the NBA finals right now. He's scoring 40 points against in high school, and you're like, okay, this kid's a little different.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Is he compared to Devin Booker?
There's a lot of wings I think that he has a little pieces of, but Devin Booker at Kentucky was able to score in a tough SEC conference. Tyler Hero was able to score at Kentucky in a tough conference like that. So there's a lot of different wings that we've been able to see put up points, but 19 points a game, almost 20 as a freshman in that conference, that's pretty impressive.
Trey, he seems like a good kid, too. Good family?
Good family, good background. Will as well. We got to see their families when they came in yesterday. They're elated, as you can imagine, and he has a really good and strong support system. And his dad kept him in the gym all the time. And he said is one of his biggest supporters, but also was one of his biggest critics and was able to push him in high school. And he's like, once I solidified myself, he kind of backed off and let me go. But those guys were asking to be in the gym already last night, which is wild.
Wow. Talking to Will Dawkins, the Wizards GM, I saw Chase Hughes asked Trey about something that kind of went viral. Kid's got no hobbies, he said. He just likes basketball.
He's a pure hooper. He's like a lot of teenagers, likes to hang out and play video games and things of that nature, but he's singularly focused on basketball. We had him over for dinner, and we're talking to him, and it's me, Coach Keith, I think Amber Nichols, we're talking about a play that happened in one of the Mystics games. It was a DHO where the player went under the screen and then came back around to isolate on the other side, and we were saying it out loud, and he said, yeah, I've seen that a couple times in some other WNBA games. They're starting to do that, and that's when you realize that this dude, like, he gets it. He really loves basketball. He watches it and studies it, and that was kind of one of those things where, like, okay, the IQ is there, but the passion to get better and watch all types of basketball, like, he's a true hooper.
So the Washington Post had an article about your meeting with him where you guys showed him plays off. Can you take us inside that meeting?
Yeah, I told him he's got to stop sharing house secrets like that. But when guys come in, we try to make sure that they know exactly who we are so we can learn who they are. And with that, we go through and they spend time with everybody in the organization, from our player pathways and enrichment teams all the way to our analytic teams. And they do film sessions with the coaches, but also spend some time with myself and Travis and Amber in the front office, and we watch film with them. And it's like, hey, this is what we've seen. This is what we like. These are the real question marks we have. Sometimes you can't tell whose fault it is, what the assignments, what's being asked. So we just got to figure it out. And it's really just learning how they are willing to take accountability, how much humility they have, and how much they're willing to push and work on those things. And I'd say we've had similar conversations with a lot of our players, and the way he was able to show us how he learned and show us the things he saw. And I think it motivated him the next day to kind of fight in some of those areas. And I like how he accepted the challenge. I would say that.
Will, so let's talk about your second first round pick. And when Walter Clayton Jr. was drafted, obviously he was drafted for another team, but for New Orleans, or I'm sorry, for Utah. But yes. We were kind of projecting who you guys might be looking at later in that second first round pick. And we thought, yeah, maybe an older player, a veteran that can kind of come in, or a kid who played 4 or 5 years in college that had more experience. And Clayton, I actually loved Walter Clayton Jr. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was a really good story. Went to Iona, then, of course, transferred to Florida and won a national championship. And he was unbelievable in the tournament. But you decided you wanted to go young again and get Will Riley. So you bypassed Clayton, let him go to Utah. Talk to us about why you decided to go with another really young player.
Yeah, I would say during the draft, you have a lot of deals that are coming your way. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people on the phones, and Will was someone that we had ranked pretty high on our board. And when we were able to, I know you talk about doing the deal with Utah, mm-hmm. being able to pick up a second round pick to get back into the draft after the day before us doing a deal that got us off of the 40th pick was important to us. We also picked up two additional assets in the future in the second round as well. Then we still got the player we wanted. So for us, strategically, that's why you saw us do those things.
Gotcha.
And again, we're not necessarily just drafting young players. We just happen to find the guys that make the most sense for our organization. And with Will, he is someone, again, who I thought finished the season really strong and started to show the player that he was. When previously, before he went to Illinois, they had a lot of ball handlers. And when he was at UIBL playing with UPlay and Team Canada, he was a scorer. He was a facilitator. And he's someone who we think has a lot more potential to kind of grow and show those areas. And physically, he's undergoing a big growth spurt the last few years, and we think he's still growing. So he's someone that has the versatility, has the size, has the scoring ability, and he fits very, very well and with all of our wings that we currently have. So we're excited to have him.
All right, talk about Watkins just quickly. Is he somebody that you could see helping you in the first year? Is he more going to be like a G League guy, or what's the plan with him?
Yeah, I think he'll be around. He'll get his opportunity to compete and be on the team. I would think what you guys were saying just before that in terms of age, he does bring that maturity.
Right.
He does bring a physicality. He's one of the strongest, most physical players that we were watching in the Power Five conferences. And when you went and saw him compete at the Combine, I always like guys who play when they get to the Combine. And he was physical. He was getting steals. He was on the rim. He's someone that improved as a shooter. But he's all business as well. He's going to get out there and defend first and make sure people feel him on the court. And I think that's something that we wanted to add when you saw some of the other moves that we'd made the last week.
All right, Will. Well, enjoy your summer now here. I guess you'll be going to Vegas for Summer League.
We'll be meeting here in a little bit on free agency and prepping for that right before we head out to Summer League. So on to the next.
All right,
on
man.
To the next.
Thank you, Will. We appreciate it.
Good job.
All right, thank you.
All right, appreciate it, buddy.
It's Will Dawkins, the Wizards GM. Remember, a little bit later, we have the Commanders minority owner, Mark Ein, joining us here in the Junction.